بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابي هريره رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشعث اغبر مدفوع بالابواب لو اقسم على الله لابره. رواه مسلم. وعن اسامه رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: قمت على باب الجنة فإذا عامة من دخلها المساكين وأصحاب الجد محبوسون، غير أن أصحاب النار قد أمر بهم إلى النار، وقمت على باب النار فإذا عامة من دخلها النساء. متفق عليه. Continuing with the chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is brought Babu Fadli Da'afat al-Muslimin wal-Fuqara al-Khamilin, the virtue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the fazilat, the distinction, the rank, the special favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon those who are weak or those who are poor or disadvantaged from amongst the Muslims. As we mentioned previously, there is a saying which most of us, whilst growing up at some point or the other, whether in school or in madrasa, we would have heard this mentioned to us, either by our parents or by our teachers, that don't judge a book by its cover. At some point in time, every one of us would have heard this, that don't judge a book by its cover. What does it mean? If you have to analyze and look at this expression, it means do not draw conclusions based upon what is apparent. What is on the surface is not what is important, but what is inside is what is important. Like ulama ikram say, insan ki qeemat andar ke sarmaye se bante hai, bahar ke sarmaye se nahi bante hai. The value of a human being in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent by what is apparent or what is outside, but what is inside. Like I said, many of us while growing up, we would have heard this, but unfortunately, when we reach adulthood, such are the pressures of society, and such is the effort of the environment, the negative effort of the environment around us, that in our practical day-to-day life, in our interacting with one another, and also in our goals and ambitions that, and targets that we set for ourselves, we go completely against this. Someone has affluence or wealth apparent on them, we look up to that person. Someone is poor or doesn't enjoy much status or position in society, we look down upon that person. Whereas this goes completely against the grain of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find on the occasion when the keys to Palestine, the keys to Baitul Muqaddas, to Masjid al-Aqsa, were going to be handed over to the Muslims. The army of the Muslims were camped, and at that time the Jews were controlling. And they were ready to hand over the keys without a conflict, without a war, without a battle. But they had one condition. And the condition was that we are only prepared to hand these keys over to your Amir. At that time, the Amir or the Khalifa was Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the news reaches Madinah Munawwara that these Jews are only prepared to hand the keys over to Amir al-Mu'mineen and there won't be a conflict, so obviously this was first prize, this is what Sahaba wanted. Bloodshed was something that they avoided. The object and the purpose was the propagation and the spreading of Islam and the nur of Hidayat. So I'm cutting the incident short. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves Madinah Munawwara in order to collect the keys to Masjid al-Aqsa. And on this journey, he is accompanied by his slave Aslam. As was the practice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, himself and his slave, they were sharing one camel. The time came for them to reach near to Aqsa. It so happened that it was the turn of Umar to be walking and the slave to be on the camel. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a personality, his austerity, his piety, his abstinence from the world was well known to such an extent that it is mentioned that there would be 14 patches of cloth, 14 patches on his clothing. So he, clothes tattered and torn, body full of dust, he is on the ground, the slave is on the camel. The Amir of the army that was camped at Aqsa was Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he sees this, he becomes worried that what will the reaction be? What perception or idea are the enemies of Islam going to get about the state and the condition of Islam and the Muslims if our Amir, unkempt, body full of dust, clothes full of patches, the slave on the camel and he is walking, what are they going to think? In other words, he was worried about the superficial, what was apparent. So he approached Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with this suggestion that one mount the camel, the other wear such clothes, yuhabu fihi mandaruk, that the awe and the dignity and the might of Islam will become apparent by the type of robes and adornment which you present yourself with. Something along those lines he suggested to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes so upset at this suggestion of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he strikes him on his chest and he says to him, referring to the special virtue which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had accorded to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when on occasion Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ سَيْدِنَا عَبِيبٍ وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَبَا عُبَيْدَ بِنْ جَرَّاحَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every ummah will have one ameen, one amanatdar person, a person who will be exemplary with regards to amanatdari and trustworthiness. And he said the ameen and amanatdar person of my ummah is Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Umar struck him on his chest and he said, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not said this about you, because of the suggestion that you have made, I would have beaten you mercilessly. But because of this position that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accorded to you, this is why I am exercising restraint. And then Umar remonstrated with him and he mentioned those words that, wallah, my respected brothers, are worthy of being written down in gold. He said, Nahnu qawmun azzan Allah bil Islam. Idha nabdaghi al-izza bighayri ma azzan Allah adhallan Allah. He said, we are a nation, we are a people. Allah elevated us. Allah gave us dignity, Allah gave us honor, Allah gave us status through Islam. What is Islam? Ulama explained, jami'u ma ja'a bihi al-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is Islam? Islam is the practical 24-hour daily life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been given one nuskha. We have been given one prescription. Such a prescription that, wallah, my respected brothers, Allah's qasam, follow this prescription, Allah will give you the highest rank in Jannat and Allah will give you the honor, protection and dignity of this world also. What is that prescription? Such a prescription that will withstand the movement and the ravages of time. A prescription which will transcend the boundaries of race, of color, of nationality. A prescription which will last till Qiyamah. Allah will give you Akhirat, Allah will give you this dunya also. What is that prescription? The Mubarak way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last night, mashallah, youngsters were present in large numbers. Many of them have slept the night also. This is what we have to take with us. This is what we are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to learn. What was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was his day? What was his night? What was his fikr? What was his concern? This, he is our role model. He is our guide. He is our symbol. If you will embrace Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, embrace his fikr, embrace his concern. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ He said, we are a nation, Allah elevated us through this. Through the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Islam. إِذَا نَبْتَغِ الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ ذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ If we will look for respect, dignity and honor in any other way. If we will look for respect, dignity and honor on the basis of any other principles. Besides Islam, besides what was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then not the enemies. And not the armies, and not technology, and not scientific advancement, no. أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ Allah will disgrace us. Allah will bring us down. This was the warning which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what is interesting, my respected brothers, that later on it was found out what was the reason that the keepers of Aqsa were prepared to hand the keys over only to the Amir of the Muslims. They want, in their scriptures that were revealed upon Musa alayhi salam, this prophecy was there, that a time will come, and the followers of the last prophet will be given the keys to Aqsa. And in those scriptures, a detailed, explicit description was given of the Amir of the Muslims at that time. His simplicity, the patches on his clothing, the fact that his body would be filled with dust. They wanted to see this prophecy that was mentioned in the scriptures revealed upon Musa alayhi salam being fulfilled. In that scripture it was mentioned that the Amir of the Muslims, this will be his appearance. The appearance by which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came with. Nevertheless, coming back to this hadith of Abu, where the narrator is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are many in my ummah, there are many in my ummah, ash'atha akhbar, their hair is disheveled, their body is full of dust, madfu'um bil abwab, they are repulsed from the doors of people, in other words, they do not enjoy any status, any position, any recognition in the eyes of people. Once, Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting at the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was crying. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him and he said, Ma yubkik ya Mu'az, Mu'az, why are you crying? So Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, ذكرت قول صاحب هذا القبر. I remembered something that I heard the resident of this grave, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying. When I remember this, I started crying. So Umar said, what did you remember? It's a lengthy hadith, a portion of it. إن الله تعالى يحب الأبرار الأتقياء الأخفياء. Mu'az radiallahu anhu said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah loves certain people. Who are they? They are those who are obedient to him. There are those with taqwa. And then the third, the same description as is found in this hadith, al-akhfiya. Al-akhfiya, they don't enjoy any status or prominence or recognition in society. Another hadith, it is mentioned, al-ladina idha ghabu lam yufaqqadu, wa in hadaru lam yud'au wa lam yuqarrabu. If they are absent, no one looks for them. If they are present, no one calls them front and says, MashaAllah, so and so has come. They don't give them a second glance. They don't enjoy much status. They are akhfiya, they are unknown. But, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَصَابِيحُ الْهُدَىٰ Their hearts are lanterns of guidance. Their hearts are lanterns of hidayat. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَبَرَىٰ مُظْلِمَىٰ Wherever they will go, they will dispel the darkness. If we look at this description found in this hadith, that these are the beloved of Allah. Who are the beloved of Allah? Obedient to Allah. Their hearts are full of taqwa. They don't enjoy position or status in the world, no. But they traverse the surface of the earth and wherever they go, they dispel the darkness and Allah uses them to bring light. Whenever I mention this hadith, one incident that occurred with me comes to mind. I've mentioned this before. A few years ago, our Jamaat was in Zomba in Malawi. I gave bayan, after the bayan, as I was going to have meals, one Pakistani brother put my shoes right, I stopped him. And then I said, brother, where are you from? So he says, I'm in, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm in Jamaat. So I said, how long are you out for? He said, for 1 year. So I said, tell me, how many times, this is the first time you are spending 1 year? He says, no. He says, in my life I have spent 1 year 5 times. 5 times 1 year in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, if you go back to Pakistan, if you go to Raiwind Markaz and you take the name of this person, no one will know who you're talking about. This description that is found in this hadith of Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the beloved of Allah, those who obey Allah, their hearts are full of taqwa. Their hearts are lanterns of guidance, and wherever they go, they will dispel the darkness. Wallah, my respected brothers, in this day and age, there is no jamaat or group in the world that has more people following, that fulfill this description than this jamaat whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Manas Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi to revive in Ummah. Hundreds and thousands throughout the world, no position, no status, but such work Allah is taking from them. Wallah, the preservation of Iman and Islam is occurring in the hands of these brothers. Nevertheless, coming back to this hadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, there are those in my ummah, they will have a disheveled appearance, their body will be full of dust. They will be repulsed from the doors of people, they will have no position or status, but because of what is inside, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, if they take a qasam on Allah, Allah will fulfill that qasam. One interpretation of this ulama ikram give, what does it mean if they take a qasam on Allah, Allah will fulfill it? Such is their maqam and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they raise their hands in dua, Allah will accept the duas of such people. So don't judge a book by its cover. Don't be influenced or affected by what is apparent. We are living in a superficial, materialistic world. Becoming wealthy, acquiring material things, this is temporary. The concern should be not what is outside, but what is my value inside. In the eyes of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the position that I enjoy? Am I the beloved of Allah? Am I amongst those who, when they raise their hands, Allah will not turn them away empty-handed? This should be our concern. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.